Rapiophile. Noun. One who is attracted to intelligence. Join us, fellow fun-loving lover of knowledge, as we dig into your favorite topics with our very own nerdy diatribes, words of wisdom, and takes on life as millennials. Welcome to the Sapiophiles.
Happy March, Sapiophiles.
Happy March. It is flying by, this 2019 we're in.
Happy morphologically correct New Year's.
Yes.
I mentioned that in one of our earlier podcasts. I don't remember which one.
You did. You absolutely did.
But if we make March 1st New Year's like it used to be in a different calendar year, then all the months have the correct root words. Like sept for September is seven, and it just makes my heart happier when they have the correct root words. So,
I mean,
happy morphologically correct New Year's.
I'm happy to celebrate it. So, you know.
Yes.
So, anyways, Chelsea and I were chatting, and of course, if you listen to our last episode about Dr. Seuss and Read Across America, you may have heard me talking about that Dr. Seuss isn't necessarily my favorite. And many would
In fact, you called yourself the queen of unpopular opinions.
I am. And that is what triggered this episode of the Sapiophiles, that all of us have unpopular opinions. I have quite a few more than a normal person, as Chelsea and I have discussed at length several times. But I mean, what do you think about this, Chels?
I am excited to hear all of your unpopular opinions and share a few of mine and just see how we do with this. Now, I'm curious to see. Oh, also, I don't think we said, hi, I'm Chelsea, that's Kayla. I don't think we said that this time.
We didn't.
But hi.
Hi.
You know us by now, probably. Or if you're new, welcome.
I'm Kayla, and?
I'm Chelsea.
There we go.
So.
Go for it.
You know, I'm very interested to hear some of yours, because one thing I did notice is last week you did mention that you were not a Seuss fan, but as the podcast went on, you did kind of reconsider different parts of why you weren't a Seuss fan and were able to pin it down to a couple characters. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on these unpopular opinions.
Right. Yes. Last week I did really pin down the dislike of Seuss to a few characters that were frequented in Seuss's works. I also, you know, little kid me didn't like Dr. Seuss as well as much as other books, but that doesn't mean that he wasn't a great author and is, you know, hugely popular for good reason now, amongst kids and adults. But yeah, The Cat in the Hat, not my fave. Hated The Cat in the Hat.
So in addition to not being a fan of The Cat in the Hat, what are some of your other unpopular opinions that you'd like to share with us today? I'm sure everybody's really excited to know.
All right, I can put them in categories. I guess I'll list the first two that most people are like, what? And I know that you've been like, what? Before. But
probably a long time ago. I'm used to yours by now.
I don't like naps or yoga.
I love naps and yoga. Naps and yoga are my jam.
And I think the naps part and even the yoga part, I just think it's just personality traits that make it not my favorite thing. Like, for my friends and people that love naps, I 100% see the benefit of them. In fact, looking back at a lot of cultures, specifically European cultures, like people in Spain and Portugal, still have siesta, where they actually do take a nap and they end up eating dinner a lot later, but they nap when they need to during the day. So I totally understand why it's important. I just, because I'm such a type A personality, I feel like people could like take a drink every time I say that, and it'll be like a drinking game on this podcast. But like, I am that I feel like I waste time if I'm napping, and that's just a me thing. And I understand that it's not a waste of time in a general sense. It's just that my brain sees it as one.
Interesting.
I don't like it.
Yeah, that's really funny because I see it as making my time later actually productive. So if I'm just not functioning at all during the day, the nap will enable me to have a productive evening. Whereas if I just didn't take a nap, I would still be as useless as I was earlier.
Right. And I think that there are like some camps of people too that I know I've had friends say that they like naps initially, but then they feel really groggy after and they don't feel awake and they don't like them for that reason. So I think it all depends on what your body wants too. But
I think it depends on how long it is, what your body wants. General, yeah.
I nap when I'm sick. So
I always know when you're sick because you're never asleep during the day.
I know. I'm not.
I'm frequently asleep during the day, so it doesn't make a difference for me.
And yoga, I think it's more like a competitive thing. Like, I've never been very flexible, so that's probably a reason to actually want to do yoga. But I just find it, like, that I'm much more of an active activity person. And I know that yoga is active in its own way, but I would rather be doing, like, kickboxing or Zumba or a HIIT class or cardio or anything like that. Like, that relaxes me more than yoga. Yoga, I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, I feel like there should be something else I'm doing. Like, if I was doing yoga and, like, listening to someone give a speech, that's, like, a better use of my time.
You like, can. I feel there's like no, there's nothing stopping you from listening to a speech while you do yoga.
I feel like, yeah, but I don't know all the poses by myself. Might as well just, like, stretch. Like, so
you can
yeah.
put it on the TV, mute it, and then put headphones in and listen to your speech.
Yeah, I could do that. But yeah, I just don't like it as much. I don't know.
I see.
This is why it's an unpopular opinion. I'm not a fan. And it's like,
I do like yoga. Now, I also like the other types of workouts that you've mentioned, but I think it depends on my mood in the day. And do I want more of like a cardio energy kind of exercise, or do I want more of a relaxing stretching core strength kind of exercise?
Right.
So interesting.
So I guess I'll segue into some entertainment industry things.
Okay.
So I'm not a huge fan of like slapstick comedy.
Yeah.
And in the sense that I don't like I really don't like the Three Stooges, which people are like, oh my God, why? Like, I just don't think it's funny to poke people in the eye or hurt anybody. So I never thought, even though I know it's farce, I never thought it was funny, and I still don't like it.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I never really thought too much about, like, what is my opinion on slapstick comedy, but I do tend to like my humor a little wittier.
Yeah.
Plays on words.
And in that same, like, fronting category, I don't like Ace Ventura or Dumb and Dumber, which I know that, like, I feel like you and I both would be kind of on the same page with those.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Those I agree with.
A lot of people really like those movies. And then.
And like I said, I mean, like, well, what are your thoughts on why you don't like those?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just don't like, and I don't mean that people that like this type of humor are stupid, but I consider it like stupid humor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like gross humor or like things where, like, people are getting repeatedly hit. Like, I didn't even really like Home Alone that much because of that. Because I was just like, they'd be dead so many times over at that point. Like, anything where, like, injury is played off as being funny, I don't like. And then Dumb and Dumber, just, I felt like it had no, like, there was nothing there that made me laugh. I was just like, their boogers are stuck to their face. That's disgusting. Like, everything was, like, either gross or stupid to me. But I understand a lot of people like it, and I'm sure I get a lot of flack. I have gotten a lot of flack for saying that I don't like these. And if you do like that humor, that's great. You might not like the same witticisms that I like, and that's fine too. But yeah. I just don't like those movies.
On that one, I agree with you. I'm definitely more of a puns, innuendos, witticisms type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that there's like an interesting little slant to, like, oh, what does that word mean, and that made it funny. Any of those.
Yeah. On the same front, I've only ever found Steve Carell super funny in Bruce Almighty. Even in The Office, I just think he's, like, uncomfortable.
Okay, on the humor stuff, I think we're going to be on the same page.
Yeah.
Which, that makes sense to me. Yeah, I totally agree. He was funny in Bruce Almighty.
Yeah. I like Parks and Rec more than The Office, which I know that for fans that like both, that's like, what? I can't believe it. Like, Parks and Rec people are like, we're supposed to just admit that our show is second best, but it's not. It's definitely the better of the two shows.
I don't know that I have a strong opinion on those two shows.
I don't like Oscar bait movies in the sense that, like, so there are some movies during the Oscars that have that, like, people have seen, and like kind of like Titanic was, and like Lord of the Rings was, and those, and then there are some that, like, you look at them, like, this year The Favorite, you would have to pay me to go see that movie, and it was like, I don't like that a lot of the Oscars have like a string of movies that nobody's actually seen. And people are like, what is that movie? Or even heard of, or never even seen a trailer for. You're like, how did the Academy know about this? Do they keep them in a vault? So like, I know that
I don't know.
I know that some movie buffs that I've talked to have been like, you just don't know like how to find the good movies. And maybe I don't, but I just don't find a lot of the ones that the Academy picks to be like the best movies all around.
I think everybody's movie taste is a little different, and you need to find the ones that are your taste, which might be some of the popular ones, or it might be some of those like hidden ones you got to dig on Netflix for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with some movies seem to be overrated. I do have a couple similar things, actually, to add in a moment.
Do you want to go in now? Because I have lots of categories.
Okay. So in terms of entertainment kind of things.
Yeah.
I wrote down a few. Now, here's one. And I did watch the entire thing. But Glee was terrible after season one.
Yeah, it was.
They had good singers. But that's it. The plot in season one was interesting. They had a good plot. They had good actors. They had good character development.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as they went on past that point, there really was nothing left that they did that was interesting. I mean, there were a couple moments, sure, but my opinion is that Glee could have done so much better.
Yeah.
They could have made it so much more interesting. Those characters had places they could have gone that they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of people love Glee, and I did watch all of Glee, and, you know, I do like parts of it. I felt that that was... The first season was the only part that was good.
Right.
So another is that on Friends, Janice was not so bad. Everybody hates Janice. The only thing wrong with her is her voice.
Hmm.
Think about the character. She's friendly. She's genuine. She's there for Chandler. She does make that one mistake with her husband, and I'll give her that, but they all make weird decisions. But when she makes mistakes, she comes back. She tries to maintain friendships with them. They are awful to her, and she's still there and nice to them. The only thing wrong with her is her voice.
Okay, so that's true. But she also does one of my pet peeves that I haven't gone into yet.
Okay. I'm excited to hear it.
I hate pet names. I love nicknames, but I hate pet names. And I know it's unpopular. But, like, when she calls him, like, Bingling, and she kind of gets, like, clingy like that, that really annoyed me.
So I call my cat Bingling.
Yeah, but your cat's a cat. Not a human.
Not named after Chandler Bing. Named after
Chandler Bing is an adult man. Like,
named after Charles Bingley.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was talking to my friend the other day, and I said that I like nicknames. I like, you know, unique nicknames that people use for one another. And I like when people call me Kay and I call you Chelsea and like that kind of stuff. But if someone ever calls me something that like should be like a dessert or a baked good, no cookie, no muffin, no cupcake, like none. So I just, it's like, ugh. So I agree with you that overall Janice got like the short end of the stick, but she, with the nicknames, she rubbed me the right way that way. But
yeah, I can give you that.
I agree with you, except you're right. Her voice is really what made her an annoying character, and really the rest of her personality wasn't all that bad.
But compared to the core six with character flaws,
oh yeah,
she's much less flawed than any of the core six.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah. Here's another one.
Okay.
I don't know if this is unpopular or not, but I think any Disney movie made before we were born, some of the newer ones are better, but any Disney movie made before we were born, I just hate the princess. I hate them.
Oh, Snow White, Cinderella.
Snow White is awful, and she just like sits there and she's like, I'm wishing. And like, they just sit there. That is the theme. They sit there and they wait for the guy to come get them. You know, Snow White does that. Sleeping Beauty does, like, someday my prince will come is the same freaking idea.
And then they tell her, don't touch the spindle. Don't touch.
Yeah, and then she touches the spindle.
She touches the spindle.
Like, it was like, how dumb can we make these people? And it's not only the princesses that are awful. It's just, like, everybody. The character traits are really bad. Like the princes, they have, like, one... They're, like, just one-track mind. They're like, I'm going to get the princess. And they have no personality. Other than that, there's no personality whatsoever. And the villains are just, like, straight-up villains. I guess maybe the fairies in Sleeping Beauty are, like, the only good characters.
Yeah. They are great.
Anything from before we were born, it's just terrible. I mean, they started to get a little better around when we were growing up. Like, Beauty and the Beast.
Aladdin,
Pocahontas, Mulan, yeah. Those were the ones of, like, when we were growing up. And then the new wave of them, things like Tangled, Frozen, Moana, are a little better.
Yeah.
But the fact that those are so popular and kids are like, I want to be Cinderella. I'm like, no, you don't.
You want to be a girl that danced with a guy for, like, 10 minutes and then he couldn't even remember what you looked like and he had to go around looking, like... If you're trying a slipper, if you dance with a blonde all night, a blonde with blue eyes all night, and then you're trying a slipper on a brunette with brown eyes, you do you want to marry him? Like, really? Like, just, is this, like, the kind of person, like, he doesn't even remember what you look like? Honey! Oh, yeah. My God, like...
And I also don't understand how the stepmother and stepsisters don't recognize her. Oh, she put on a pretty dress, so we don't know her. So, I mean, I do like more of, if you're going to do Cinderella, do the Rodgers and Hammerstein version.
Oh, yeah.
So much better, and she has a little more character and meat there.
Mm-hmm.
And the music is just better.
You're right.
But, yeah. So, I guess that one, Disney Princesses... from the earlier Disney. I just don't understand them.
Yeah. I don't, I agree with you. I think that, yep.
What do you got next, Kay?
I'm going to go on the same front with people that we don't understand, but, like, okay. Everybody thinks are this, like, incredible couple. Romeo and Juliet, they were children.
Oh, yes. Okay. You start. I'll add.
It's like, these children, like legitimate children, fall in love, and then their whole relationship goes from first meeting to completely in love to sleeping together, like, to killing themselves in, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
It's...
Agreed.
And they're, like, romance icons. They're people that, like, they're like, oh my God, romantic couples, like, the top... That's not romantic. That's, like, I'm... young and have hormones and have no control over what's going on.
So going back to episodes,
yeah.
They are pure Eros and mm-hmm. nothing else. There's no substance to that relationship.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even say it's that because I don't know that you can be that deeply in love with somebody in a week. I mean, you can have that instant attraction, sort of love at first sight feeling, but I just, they're 13 years old. They're 13. Right.
Mm-hmm.
13.
I know.
And yeah. They meet. They decide they're in love in about 3 seconds. And I don't know about you. I've never fallen in love in 3 seconds. It usually takes a little while.
It does.
Yeah. So they're in love in like 3 seconds. And then they start this whole big passionate declaration that exacerbates the war between their families. There are multiple casualties. His best friend dies. Her cousin dies.
Yeah.
And they're like, we still want to be together. And then they, even with all of that, are dumb enough not to communicate appropriately and end up killing themselves. Like, if you were gonna do something, okay, I get it. It's like, okay, it's dramatic irony and it's tragic fate and okay, we lost the letter. But seriously, guys, like, get your shit together.
Yeah.
If you're gonna make that much commotion because you just need to be together, then actually focus on making the relationship work. Not on, I'm going to die! No, I'm going to die!
Which you could do if you weren't 13.
Yes. So, oh yeah, I saw a meme that was, it was like a thread, a discussion thread, and it said, well, what if... he's your Romeo, but you're not his Juliet. And then the next line said, then you're his Rosalind and you survive the damn play.
Yeah.
So, Romeo and Juliet, not the be-all and end-all, guys.
No, not at all.
I like that we agreed on that one, yes.
Yeah. So, I'm going to lump a bunch together and just do my unpopular dislikes of foods that everybody else seems to like.
I have a few of those, too.
Anything vanilla. Then I have this weird thing that I, for me, meat should be, like, meat-flavored or salty. So if you will put, like, pineapple on top of ham or pineapple on top of pizza, basically anything that puts pineapple on top of something that should be salty, I really don't like it. I love pineapple and I love ham, but I don't want pineapple on my ham. I love honey and I love ham, but I don't want honey on my ham. I love honey and I like turkey, but I don't want honey roasted turkey. I don't want it.
Yeah. I don't particularly mind those, but I get what you're saying.
I also don't like watermelon. I don't like soda. I don't like Twizzlers or Smarties, which I feel like a lot of kids like. It was more of a weird thing when I was a child, not so much now. Smarties are basically like eating sugar, just legit sugar.
Eating sugar. They're not even like eating sugar. They're sugar.
And then I never liked, even as a kid, I never liked those sugary cereals that all kids are supposed to like Honeycomb and Lucky Charms and Fruity Pebbles and Frosted Flakes and like all those. Like, I thought they were gross. Like, basically anything that's too sweet, I never really liked, which made me semi-unpopular when it came to breakfast cereals after slumber parties, as well as drinking, you know, any type of beverage during a pizza party, because no one ever had juice.
So, I agree with you on the soda.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, I don't mind if there's like a seltzer with bubbles, but soda to me is a mixer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a drink outright. Mm-hmm. So, there's that. In terms of the cereals, I was never a huge sweet cereal person either. I did like Honeycombs, but all the other ones, not so much. Now, here's my weird thing about cereal.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I know it.
I do not put milk in my cereal.
She doesn't.
Now, not at all, ever. It's just that's not a thing I do. So I don't put milk in my cereal because this is kind of like a hangover from when I was a kid. For the first 12 years of my life, I was allergic to milk and to dairy and to any of those products.
Mm-hmm.
So I got used to cereal being a crunchy snack. So cereal is like chips,
mm-hmm.
or cereal is like a pretzel. You know, it's a crunchy snack.
Right.
And then people were like, oh, put milk on it. I'm like, would you put milk on a pretzel? It's just awful. It's, you know, I don't want it to be soggy. It's a crunchy snack. So I still, to this day, do not put milk in my cereal.
Which is the literal opposite of me with cereal. Like,
like it super mushy.
Yeah. I like it like super. I like put Corn Chex in a bowl. I'll put milk in, and then I'll wait. I'll wait it out until it gets to like porridge level, and then I'll eat it.
Yeah, well, see, porridge to me is a different thing than cereal, and I get that it's technically hot cereal, but it's just like a different thing. Like the hot ones.
Mm-hmm.
Those, when I think of cereal, it's crunchy. Those are like their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having pastini.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's that one.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, which I guess comes out of the same, I never had these things when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like cheese goes on subs. It doesn't go on meat. I mean, you can have cheese and meat if you have, like, chicken parm. Or you can have cheese and meat if you have, like, sausage pizza. But on, like, a sandwich where there's a piece of meat, I don't know why there's cheese on it.
That is an unpopular opinion.
It is. It's very unpopular. But I just, cheese is like a sometimes thing. I'm not a huge cheese person. I used to not eat cheese at all for many years.
That's true.
Many years past when I could. I do like it now, but in certain places where it belongs. Like it belongs on pizza, doesn't belong on my sandwich.
Yeah.
So that's weird. You know, I know all of you people who want to go get your ham and cheese sandwich, you know, go ahead, go for it. All for you. I'm not having mine. So you take it. So I guess those are mine. I eat most foods.
Yeah. All right. Do you want the random I'm going to go childhood category now.
Okay.
I can't stand Monopoly and Risk. Mm-hmm. Mainly because I don't like a game where, like, the whole idea is to take money from everybody else so that you can have all the money. And I just like a game where the whole idea is to take the land from everybody else so you can be the dictator of the world. I don't like...
Fair.
Like, I don't like those games, and I know that they're popular. Growing up, I didn't like Rugrats. I wasn't a huge Sesame Street kid. I liked Barney and Reading Rainbow, but I didn't like Sesame Street, except for Oscar the Grouch. I thought he was like, you know, chill. I didn't like the show PB&J Otter or the show Cat Dog, and those were very popular. I hated them.
I don't think I ever saw PB&J Otter. I saw Cat Dog.
Yeah. PB&J Otter was a little bit after us, but I had a younger brother, so I think that's another reason I didn't like it all that much. This is from when we were teens. I hate Macy Gray's voice. I don't know why she made it at all. She sounds like she actually is going to say goodbye when she chokes because she sounds like she's choking. I can't stand her voice.
okay.
Yes. So those are my kids' ones. I don't like, this is like a segue. I don't like Miranda Lambert's song Little Red Wagon because for me it is a camp song and it is not. Like, the chorus is actually a camp song, kind of like Baby Shark, how both you and I know Baby Shark before it became popular.
Yes. Yeah. Before it became popular. I'm like, this is not a new song, guys.
And I can't stand Frosty the Snowman.
So that's your big one.
Yeah, I really don't like Frosty the Snowman.
So, a few things from when I was a kid. This is a strange one. This is my little weird quirk as a kid. I hated, could not stand and burst into tears, hated the kid's song On Top of Spaghetti. And I think that came from, there was a cartoon video where there was like a little meatball with a face, so he was cute and he rolled off the plate and then he got squished. And I was so traumatized for this meatball that he got squished to the point where anybody who played this song, I would burst into tears. I'd be inconsolable. And like my mom would have to pick me up from school. Like she basically had to go into the school and tell the music teachers they couldn't do it because I wouldn't be able to come back. So that was my weird thing. Also, I didn't eat meatballs until I was about 12 because I couldn't hurt them. I ate meat. I ate all the different meats that are in meatballs as separate meats, but I couldn't eat meatballs until I was like 12 because I was traumatized by this kid's video. So that's my weird kid thing. You know, it's just a funny thing. It's not a thing anymore. So, yeah, there's definitely that one. Other things, you know, as a kid, I don't know that I had too many. I have one that kind of goes back to the entertainment thing. So, I used to, and I do still in reruns, I love the show Gilmore Girls.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I watch it, the more I hate Rory.
Yeah.
And I liked her originally when I was a teenager. But she's just such an awful, awful character. And I think, you know, I don't know that that's unpopular. I think especially after the Netflix revival,
more people feel like
do
that.
Think that because she's awful. She's not holding a job. She forgets she has a boyfriend and she cheats on him repeatedly. Like she literally forgets she has a boyfriend.
Yeah.
She flies repeatedly to London to sleep with a guy who's engaged. She has her stuff in every which state. She thinks she's too cool to have a job. She just, I don't like how she turned out. As a kid, when she's like 16, she's fine. She's not so bad. But the way they had her character grow up, I'm not sure why the writers did it that way. But it really bothered me, especially because I love Lorelai. She's awesome.
Yeah. I also, dislike how the writers almost like the way they are writing it, they wanted you to, I don't want to say like slut shame Lorelai, but Lorelai was supposed to be like the promiscuous one because she got pregnant at 16, but Lorelai doesn't have one night stands. She doesn't cheat, like she has that whole like Christopher thing when she thinks she and Luke are done, but like she doesn't cheat repeatedly like Rory does. She does, like I just feel like...
But see, that's not a one-night stand. The no. one night with Christopher, that's somebody who she has history with, who she trusts, who she cares about.
No, I know. And they kind of paint her as like, oh, not, she's like the risque one. But really, like, Rory makes worse choices romantically.
Yeah.
Like, and she's supposed to be like...
And I mean, Rory loses her virginity to a married guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that about? Like, yeah, sure, Lorelai got pregnant when she was 16, but she got pregnant with her serious boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who was the only person she had slept with.
Yeah.
It's very different.
And then she worked her butt off to get to, like, be able to
support And she made child. Rory a good life. A life that was good enough that she was able to go crazy.
Yeah.
And do all her crazy things that she decided to do. So, Gilmore Girls wanted you to believe, you're right, they wanted you to believe that Rory was the good girl and Lorelai was the wild child. And you know what? Lorelai had fun with her life, but she never did anything that I think is morally unsound. She never did.
No.
You know, she doesn't do horrible things where she like lies and cheats.
No.
She never gets involved with like bad crowds where she steals things or there's drugs or anything crazy. She doesn't sleep around.
No.
She has multiple men throughout the course of the story, but they're all
her
relationships.
Yeah.
Or people that she's at least dating to some extent.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the problem is with her. Like, just that she had sex when she was 16? A lot of people have sex when they're 16, and that doesn't make them bad people.
Yeah. At the end of the series, like, as it stood before the new release, I think a lot of people were split on Rory. And then the people that were like, no, she, like... You know, she just is going through some rough times and then saw the new one. We're like, oh, my God, what is wrong? Like, even people that I talked to who liked Rory more than Lorelai at the end of the series have talked to me now and have said, like, no, she's awful. Like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, she really is. Yeah. And honestly, I know people love to, because they did kind of leave the revival open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people love to say, well, her relationships are a parallel to her mother's relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so that means, like, Logan is the Christopher, which would make Jess the Luke. But honestly, Jess is too good for her.
Yeah.
Like, Jess is Milo Ventimiglia. Love him.
Yeah.
And also, he was another character who was painted as, like, a bad guy.
Yeah.
Jess was painted as, like, the worst kind of guy.
And he was...
And he did things that weren't great. You know, he cut school and things like that as a kid, but he never did anything awful to anybody. He didn't lie, he didn't cheat.
Yeah.
And he was solidly there for her even when she did crazy things.
Yeah.
He was always there throughout when she was with other people. And he, who was the bad guy, became her moral compass.
Yeah.
So that's what I don't get about Gilmore Girls.
I like it. Random three things first.
Yeah.
You'll probably agree with me. Places and things that people like that are very popular, the people that I don't like. Times Square, Las Vegas, gambling. So casinos.
Yeah.
I can't stand any of those things.
I'm not a fan of casinos either.
And Times Square. And Vegas.
Times Square is just bizarre.
Yeah.
Times Square, like, the costume characters try to harass you. And it's just, if you're going to find pickpockets, that's where they are. If you're going to find people catcalling, that's where they are.
Mm-hmm.
People trying to rip you off.
That's where they are.
Yep.
So
Times Square, I mean, I get that it's like this like center hub of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But New York City is huge and there's so many good places in New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I avoid Times Square if I can. Sometimes I have to cross through it because the theater district is there and there's a lot of good shows. But don't hang out in Times Square if you can help it.
And then I have my weird history things.
Okay.
Like... Because I've studied up in Chelsea, can probably say the same on my history, as well as, like, different perspectives in history. I get actively angry when people talk about Custer's last stand, because Custer was awful. As far as, like, he massacred Native Americans even when they were, like, trying to move themselves from the land that they had to the land that he was supposed to, like, send them to. He, like, would kill them during the night. He was awful. And he will paint as, like, this last stand, like, person, like, this famous general who protected the people. And it's like, no. The same reason I also hate Columbus Day, except I think it's a day off. But other than that, Christopher Columbus was a horrendous human being.
I remember you having a drunk rant about that junior year of college. So
yeah, I just can't stand him. And the fact that he has a day is, I mean, he has a day with, like, I mean, Washington and Lincoln have a day and this jerk has a day. No, we can rename it. We can
Martin Luther King has a day.
Martin Luther King has a day. And then this jerk has a day. No. No.
No days for you.
No days for you, Christopher Columbus. Plus, he wasn't even here first. But that's neither here nor there. And I'm not just talking to the Native American people. I'm saying other people got here first.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's mini history rant. And yeah, that one. Yeah, my other one's just stupid that I don't like Candy Crush or any of the games. And I don't like video games. That's another big one. So any video games on my phone, on the TV. Yeah.
I don't play them as much as a lot of people. Like, I don't do game consoles or anything. Mm-hmm. I do have certain games that I like to play on, like, phones or computers, but I wouldn't call them, like, the standard video games.
Yeah.
They're more, like, puzzle games.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Columns on Sega, but that was Finding Patterns. And I liked playing Mario Kart with my friends, but, like, mm-hmm. I guess, yeah, like,
that one was fun.
Invested in video, I think that... You know, video games for a number of reasons. I get the hand-eye coordination thing, but I think the violent ones are, like, instilling in kids the wrong messages from a very early age. Plus, that much screen time is very bad. Anyways, end of small rant.
Cool.
All right.
So here's another one, which I guess is more of a pet peeve than an unpopular opinion. But I have a very hard time taking people seriously or being able to respect people who cannot use proper grammar in emails. I don't care if you typed it on your phone. If it's a professional email, check your spelling. Check your grammar. Like, it really bothers me. And my biggest thing is don't screw up your homophones. It's not like... Pick a there, any there, or there. They're all the same. You can't just pick one, guys. So that's my biggest thing, to the point where, like, I mean, it's different a little bit in social communication if you're just texting somebody, but even then,
oh, that still bothers.
If there are enough mistakes, typos are one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you know, not capitalizing is one thing. Punctuation, fine. You can let all that go. But if your grammar and basic spelling is not correct, I, like, can't keep talking to you. I just can't. Like, I have cut people off, like, because I couldn't read their texts.
I feel like among intellectuals, that's a popular opinion. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are like, come on, it's like B4, like bingo.
And now I feel like I sound like a snob. I don't mean if you use text speak while you're texting and that's your thing, I guess you do you. But in emails, oh my God, I'm with you. If someone sends me an email, like if I get a student email and the I's aren't capitalized or they use a U instead of Y-O-U or a C instead of S-E-E, I'm just like, you shouldn't even be going to college. What is going on? Like,
now here's the thing about text speech.
Yeah.
Text speech came out of when we were teenagers and you had to T9 your text messages, which if you guys are a little younger than us, T9 was when it was just like a normal phone pad, like with just the numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, just the numbers. And each number had three letters on it. So ABC was one. So if you wanted C, you had to tap 1 3 times. You had to go like tap, tap, tap. And text speak came out of that because it took so long to type. If you have a keyboard on your phone, spell the word.
There's no reason. Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind it so much if you're doing like an occasional text speak within like a casual text conversation occasionally. But if that's the whole thing that bothers me, and if your grammar is just all over the place, that bothers me. Yeah. It's very distracting from the actual conversation.
And I guess I'm with you in that, you know, if I have someone talking to me, even via text, and there's a ton of text speak in there, or if there's grammatical errors, I can't talk to them that often. I can't do it because my brain just wants to correct them. And I know that that's rude, So yeah. that's, but like, that's what my brain wants.
But it distracts your brain from what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's super distracting to the point that, just so you know, that both of us practice what we preach. I know that, like, I always, like, if I mess up, I do like the word with an asterisk on the bottom.
Yeah.
If I notice it. And I know that you do similar things. You'll be like, oi, like, oi vey, like, and then you'll like type the
thing. I say oi a lot. Yeah.
And so.
But a typo is different. Like, a lot of those that you mess up is like a typo that just, like, your phone autocorrected it wrong.
Right.
And it's very easy to tell the difference between your phone autocorrected it wrong and you just don't know what you're saying or like you don't know the right word. It's very easy to tell.
Have you ever gotten a text message where it's so text speaky that I'm like, I don't even know what this means?
Like, sometimes you gotta look it up. Yeah.
Where you feel like you're reading hieroglyphics and you're like, I didn't study this in school. Like, yeah.
So that's my, I don't know if that's a popular or unpopular opinion, but that is a big one mm-hmm. for me. So if you text me, don't text me like that.
Yes. Agreed.
And my other big one, I guess, is that sick days should include stress days. If you had something bad happen in your life and you're very stressed, or like something, anything that you actually, if you can't function at your full potential, I don't care if you have a doctor's note, it's a sick day.
So I think that mental health days should be included in sick days. Mm-hmm. But for me, just with what my job does, especially in the fall, I would have like 40 days of sick days because I'm basically stressed out for like the entire fall. Like,
well, okay.
You know, I'm playing devil's advocate. So I, yeah. You know,
but no, I mean, health, I guess
absolutely.
I guess I wasn't super clear.
Okay.
By stress days, I mean days when your stress has gotten so bad that it is impeding on your mental health.
Okay. So yeah, mental health days. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just calling them stress days so that people who don't have a mental health diagnosis know that it's valid for them as well.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, so to your
point. Because mental health days, I feel like, can be misinterpreted by like, well, I don't have clinical depression, therefore I can't have a mental health day.
No, I mean, like, so the day that, really the day after I didn't get into Princeton, mm-hmm. I was really upset and didn't want to go to school. And my mom gave me a mental health day. Like, she just was like,
exactly. So something, you know, big and emotional that happens. Yeah, like,
so,
like, you go through a terrible breakup the night before, you can have a sick day.
Or you get into a car accident. Maybe it just scared you, but, and you're, you know, physically okay, but that's still something that you should be able to take the day off the next day to get everything organized.
Absolutely.
You know.
So, yeah, by stress days, of course, everybody's stressed at work.
Yeah.
Stress is part of life, but mm-hmm. when your stress is impeding on your
ability,
health, mm-hmm. your mental health, your ability to function.
Yeah.
It's a sick day. Anything that you're dealing with that makes it so that you can't do your job the way it should be done
mm-hmm.
counts. I don't think you should need doctor's notes.
No.
For everything. You know, even if I am legitimately sick with something, not everything requires a doctor.
No, I mean, like, if you know that you have the flu, like, the doctor isn't going to prescribe you anything. You stay home. If you have food poisoning, you stay home. The doctor can't give you a note for that. But nobody wants you in like, your office with food poisoning. Like, it's...
Right.
So, yeah.
So, I guess those are my two big ones. The grammar thing in texting and the mental health days.
Those are good ones. And I agree with you.
I'm not sure if those are popular or unpopular, but those are my opinions.
I feel like that there's probably a 50-50 group on the first one, and probably a large percentage of people now, although if we had gone back to the 80s or 90s, they would have disagreed with you. But now, with how much like work-life balance is a big thing, I think that it would be a good one.
Right.
Maybe some sticklers who would say,
like, no. Anxiety is sick.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. So.
All right. So, you ready?
Oh, yeah. Always.
So, guys, this is my favorite of Kayla's opinions because it's just so much fun. And I hope you guys enjoy this rant as well.
Okay, so I really, really, really don't like the cartoon Frosty the Snowman. The one that we all used to watch with in tandem with Rudolph and Santa Claus is Coming to Town, like that group. It's even packaged with those sometimes at the store.
Yeah.
I can't stand him. I like snowmen. I always like to tell people, like, preface with I like snowmen in general. Like,
Olaf. Olaf's cool.
I like Olaf. I like other snowman characters in books and in films. I like the walking snowman and Rudolph who sing silver and gold. I like when little kids draw me snowmen. I like making snowmen outside. I just can't stand Frosty. And this loathing that I have for Frosty began at a very young age, and I'll explain it. And I really don't like him. Like, Chelsea can see my facial expressions right now, but I'm just,
yep.
I really don't like him. Okay.
She's getting really heated, guys.
So first, he wakes up and I just can't stand his voice. And the fact that he wakes up and is like, happy birthday. I was like, be quiet. Like, little me just wanted him to shut his mouth. Like, there's no, like, he just sounded.
Whose birthday is it?
Whose birthday is it? I don't know whose birthday it is. I don't know. Okay.
Is it his because he was just born?
I mean, maybe, but like, he says it again at the very end of the movie when he like gets re-snowmaned, which.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. I'm like, no, like, no, like just his whole personality just annoyed the heck out of me. Still does. But as a child, I'm talking like 4 or 5. I despised this snowman. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, so we're going to continue. It's called like Bad Life Choices by Frosty. So Frosty in this movie is seen as an older figure than the children that he's like, you know,
right.
Built him and put the hat on his head and everything.
He's an adult snowman.
He's an adult snowman. So instead of being an adult snowman and doing adult things, he acts like a moron. And he's like, yeah, sure, 5 or 6 year old girl. Come on, let's hop a train. Yeah, sure, let's hop a train and to escape this guy who just wants his hat back, by the way. Just wants it back. He actually, well, like...
Yeah, they stole it.
They stole his hat, okay? They stole it. But, and I get that it gave Frosty life, so yeah, okay, we got that. But this guy's chasing them because his property was stolen. So Frosty decides to take this 6-year-old girl with him on a train. Meanwhile, she's getting cold. Her parents have no idea where she is. The other kids just think this is totally chill because the walking snowman said we could do it. Then they get to, like, this greenhouse area, and the guy who's looking for the hat is, like, chasing him. And of course, the little girl's cold. So Frosty's like, you know what? You should go in the greenhouse, which I was like, wow, first bright idea you had the entire film, Frosty. And then he goes, I'm going to come in with you because nothing says intelligent. Nothing says I'm going to protect a child. Like, I'm going to just melt there in front of her and be completely useless. The greenhouse yep. was glass. He could have been outside protecting her from outside and let her inside so he could have had his cold and she could have had her warm and everybody would have been fine. But no, he had to melt and then later had to have Santa come save him. So now he's left this little girl alone and he's turned into a puddle. The whole thing is just like a series of bad decisions. And then Santa saves the day. Thank God. Go Santa.
Well, at least there's Santa.
And then like Santa comes and then he's just like, oh, random little girl. Nothing about the parents, but thankfully Santa knows what Santa knows and it's all good. But like the whole movie, I was just like, this guy is an idiot. How is he the adult figure? Why is he like so many? Oh, I can't stand Frosty. Chelsea, I can't stand Frosty the Snowman.
I know.
And listeners, I'm sorry if this was your favorite childhood Christmas movie and I just ruined it for you. But sorry, not sorry. Frosty was just...
You've been listening to Kayla talk for a while now. We've been at this for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually you were going to have to hear the Frosty rant, guys. If you know Kayla for long enough, you'd learn the Frosty rant. It's something that happens.
I can't stand him. So many bad life choices.
Everybody eventually hears the Frosty rant. It happened on the last trip we were on.
It did. On a ski lift.
It did happen on a ski lift. A ski lift in Canada a couple weeks, almost a month ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Frosty rant is so much a part of getting to know me that my youngest brother, as a joke, got me a Frosty the Snowman stocking this Christmas because he knew it would annoy me that much. I'm gonna regift.
Good call, Aiden.
I'm gonna make it like the stocking, and I'm gonna give it back to like someone next Christmas, and
cool.
Put like a gag gift in it for that person because I feel like that's what it should be used for. Plus, I don't want it because I really don't like Frosty.
So that is the Frosty the Snowman rant. I'm trying to think of like kids classics. If there was anything I really didn't like, I mean, I don't know that I thought as hard about things as a kid as you did. I think I had movies that I liked more than others, but I don't know that I was like, oh my God, this is terrible.
I had a lot of thoughts about this kind of stuff as a kid, but I mean, now all of you know me on a deeper friendship podcast level because you've heard the Frosty rant.
We are all friends here.
We are. So to wrap up, I am going to tell you, listeners, and you, Chelsea, that I am going to try not to like it, but I'm going to try to do some stretching and yoga in the near future because it'll be good for my flexibility for my marathon, even though I don't like it. So I'm going to try to be open-minded about it.
It will be good. I'll do yoga with you if you would like, a buddy.
Okay. Is there anything that you think that you'll try? Or, I mean, you're...
Let's see. What do I want to try? I guess I will try not to instantly judge people if they incorrectly write something to me.
Hmm. Okay.
I still think overall that if you can't spell or have any sort of sense of grammar, it's a problem, but I will try not to instantly judge.
Huh.
I'll try to give people more of a chance.
Oh, cool. That's a good one. That was a good, very positive wrap up for us.
There we go. All right. Well, if you have unpopular opinions that you would like to share, or if you want to comment on ours, be like, I don't understand that. Like, how can you not want cheese on your sandwich? Let us know. We like to hear these things. I know this was kind of a sillier, lighter one. And, you know, we like to bring you all different kinds of episodes here. So if you have other things you would like us to talk about that are more of the type that we do that's like a research topic, or if you would like us to analyze something, or if you would like more of these just fun ones, if you have a topic of what are your thoughts on this random thing, let us know. You know, we want to be able to give you guys the types of episodes that you like. I like to have a mix of different types. So let us know. Tell us your unpopular opinions.
Yes, please do. We might agree with you because evidently we have a lot of I have a ton of unpopular opinions. You have a normal person's amount.
I had a harder time coming up with them. You were like, I have a whole list. I got this. Oh, I don't like this, like, and I don't like this. And I was like, I called my mom and I'm like, Mom, what are my unpopular opinions?
And then say what your mom said.
She said, I don't know. I can think of Kayla's.
True. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being so loyal and for putting up with our silliness some days and then our intellectual rants other days and our overall geekiness. I think it's endearing. So
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Nerds run the world, man.
Nerds do run the world. It's very true.
You know, you want to be a nerd. You probably are if you're listening to us, honestly. Yeah,
that's true. On some level, on some level, you're a nerd.
In a good way.
Yeah, be proud.
We're not putting you down. We're very proud to be nerds.
We mean that in the best way. We're also nerds, so really.
We're very proud of us.
Yes.
So, thank you, podcast friends.
Yes.
For listening. And have a fantastic week.
Yes, please.
We'll see you next time.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Whether you find our opinions popular or unpopular, we're glad that you are still listening to us here at the Sapien Files. If you would like to reach out to us and tell us about your popular or unpopular opinions, you can find us at sapiofilespodcast@gmail.com, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or YouTube, on the iTunes Store, or on any app that you use to listen to this podcast. Have a great week, and always, stay curious.